And now our second scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Listen now for the word of God. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Now, last week, we looked at how the point of the story of the Good Samaritan is not just about Jesus asking the question, "Who is your neighbor?" But more importantly, it's about, are you being a good neighbor? So now this week, let's look at how Jesus teaches Mary and Martha that he understands each of them and that they each have a unique way of being disciples. And this applies to all of us as well, since we are all unique too. Now, this image is a beautiful painting by George Stetler that I wanted you to see. And Marianne Beavis, professor at St. Thomas More College, she expands more about the background of Mary and Martha. In an article that she wrote on the subject, she said, "Although contemporary understandings of their significance to the early church have been eclipsed by a preoccupation with the other Mary, Mary Magdalene, this Mary and Martha were highly revered by ancient Christians, and their role in the Gospels and beyond is starting to be recognized." Now, what do we know about this group? We know that Lazarus, who was raised from the dead by Jesus, is the brother of Mary and Martha. Jesus and Lazarus were very close friends, so he must have known Mary and Martha well too. What we don't know for sure is the economic status of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, but like the painter of this painting, many Bible scholars guess that they were probably fairly wealthy and able to support Christ's ministry with some of their resources. You can just tell by the lavish home that this painting has around it that that painter agreed with those biblical scholars that thought they were very wealthy. According to theologian Marge Mosky, they must have had a home large enough to accommodate Jesus and his entourage. And Mary is the one who had used the very expensive perfume to anoint Jesus' head and feet. That perfume, you'll remember, was worth a whole year's wages, they said. And some scholars presume that Martha and Mary were widows who had not remarried. And Lazarus, their brother, lived with them, and most likely other family members as well. And another interesting side note that I found is that the name Martha is the feminine form of an Aramaic word meaning Lord or Master. And Martha was regarded as the home's mistress of the house, they would say. And Mary was the younger sister and probably more social, as secondborns tend to be. I don't know if that's true in your family, but it's very true in my family. My secondborn is much more social than my firstborn. And Mary then also was less motivated to do the work to prepare the meal. As a result, she would much rather socialize than be in the kitchen. Now, the typical interpretation of this passage is that Martha is being admonished by Jesus for being focused on the task of preparing the meal for Jesus and his entourage, rather than sitting at his feet like Mary was and listening to his words. Sitting at a teacher's feet was the usual posture of a student in those days. And probably some of the other men and women who traveled with Jesus were also likely to be sitting alongside Mary too, while Martha was busy supervising the preparation of a big meal. So rather than look at the differences in the way these two women show their support of Jesus, though, I want to first look at the way they are united. Jesus' tone, if we could hear it, as he speaks to Martha, we can assume that it was a very empathic tone, not an admonishment, because there's no exclamation marks after Martha, Martha. It could have been said like this, Martha, Martha, like a compassionate daddy would say to a child. Jesus loves both women and wants them to know that now is the time to focus attention on being in his presence. Jesus knows this is one of their last times together on earth, and Jesus knows that his arrest is imminent. Now is the time for them to savor Jesus' presence. Now, this message to Martha is for all of us. Now is the time to attend to Jesus rather than focus on our to-do lists. Now is the time to reschedule your life and reprioritize how you spend your time. Spend your time on what is meaningful and don't waste time worrying about the future. Now is the time to enjoy your family and your friendships and your God-given love for them too. Faithful women and men must unite to promote this and to promote the Church of Jesus Christ and act on our faith in community, not in cliques or in competition with each other. And I think it's so perfect then that Pat Carrigan just somehow decided that she was going to preach on faith in community. It directly connects to this Sunday too. When Professor Carolyn Lewis talks about this passage, she says, "We all need this reminder every once in a while. Now is the time to look around and see what difference faith is making in your life. And maybe how your life needs to change because of your faith." Mary and Martha demonstrated two different kinds of discipleship here. Mary at this time was being a listener and a learner, and Martha was being a doer. And if we are honest, most of us have been both at some time in our lives, and we need to be both for different reasons at different times. When we realize both the doer and the listener are needed, we start to realize that faith is diverse, and so are personalities and abilities. There should be no judgment on the women that don't get into the kitchen to do work, because they may be better at doing discipleship out there in Bowen Hall, getting to know the new people. And same for the men, too. Men shouldn't be judged for not always being on the buildings and grounds just repairing the church. They might be much better at teaching and encouraging Bible study and praying. There are times for doing and times for listening and learning, praying and pondering, together and alone. But when you have a chance to sit at the feet of Jesus, take the opportunity to do so. We all operate differently and make choices in life based on how our brains function, too. And that's another thing to remember, is that we are unique in the way our brains function. Many brain studies have shown that women are able to multitask more effectively than men. I don't know if you've read any of those studies, but there's quite a few of them out now. But I found out they also found that gender differences become closer to the same as people age. Women in their reproductive years are better at multitasking than in our retirement years. And that kind of makes sense, because when you have little ones running around while you're trying to get everything else done, you have to be able to multitask. So we should all be patient with one another. As we lose gray matter in our brains, we need to think more slowly, do more listening, and ponder more carefully. That is just how we are created. Our brains shrink with age. Exercise and brain-stimulating activities may slow down the shrinkage, depending on how healthy you are in general, but much of that we can't help. But all our hearts and minds and souls benefit from a close relationship with Jesus, whose love can guide all our ways, whether we try to multitask or not. So no matter how fast our brains work, the point is described this way by Reverend David Luce. He said, faith can be as easily practiced in the kitchen as in the study, at school or at play, while working on the farm or on a train. What matters is not so much what we are doing, but what matters is our attentiveness to God's presence during all the varied activities and responsibilities that we have. David Luce also says, Jesus wants to draw each and all of us into a relationship that lifts us beyond the everyday limitations of this life, so that we might glimpse the sacred holiness with which each moment is imbued. I like the word permeated better. It's hard to say imbued. So he's saying again, Jesus wants us to be able to glimpse the sacred holiness with each moment that is permeated with God's holiness. And if you think about that, every moment, if God's presence is with us every moment, then there is something sacred about every moment. From looking at the beautiful light that comes in with the stained glass, to breathing the air that we're all sharing right now, to being able to be connected to one another. It's sacred to be here at this moment. That is the one thing that is needed for all of us to be aware of, and then to focus on learning who Jesus is through the gospel message, and to develop our faith and understanding of who God is. And then everything flows from that faith into our daily lives. So ponder, what is worrying and distracting you that prevents you from sitting at the feet of Jesus to listen to how much he loves you and to learn how to love the world on his behalf? And let's cut Martha a break and consider her brain may be just an effective multitasker, and that Mary's is more focused on one thing at a time. God doesn't want us to promote division between types of women or men, but unite us together with a patient understanding of our God-given differences. So I found a poem that empathizes and understands the Marthas in the room, whether they be male or female. Can we get the poem up here? It says, we've been too hard on Martha because of that rebuff. I think somehow we feel she didn't love her Lord enough. No, quite to the contrary. Martha's love was such that in her eagerness to serve, she tried to do too much. For there's a time for serving, and there's a time for rest. Everything in season, choosing what is best. That hour had its good part in sitting at his feet, taking in the blessed word, which is our bread and meat. Things must stay in balance, so let us pray from youth. God, give me Martha's diligence and Mary's love for truth. Amen.